Introducing your hosts with wit beyond measure, Michael, loyal and just, Haley, ambitious and cunning, Shelby, daring and chivalrous, Savannah. Welcome to Hold My Butterbeer, a podcast about all things Wizarding World canon.
So we are getting into the holiday season, and I want to talk about some wizarding holidays.
Woo! Happy holidays!
Happy holidays, y'all. Michael laid out, obviously, the best possible thing we could talk about for everything. So we have a lot of pagan holidays versus Catholic holidays. I know that the movies and the books display a lot of Catholic holidays. So we're just going to talk about what we think the wizards do.
Compared to what we know they do.
First, yeah, precisely. And what we wish they would do. I would love more pagan holidays.
Should we start with the biggest holiday in the whole series, which is definitely Christmas?
Christmas!
And the biggest holiday in most people's lives.
Right. Harry Potter's such a Christmas book, such a Christmas movie.
He just loves Christmas.
It just very fitting.
Christmassy.
So what about it makes you feel Christmassy?
I don't know. Like the little songs and the snow, and they have like, even if I just think of like the movies, like the first movies, like,
well, like, that's a good job of WB's coming at us right now. But
copyright. I also remember Flitwick putting all the ornaments on the tree and Hagrid lugging them into the castle.
Do you think the first two movies in particular that kind of make Harry Potter make it feel like a Christmassy series?
I wouldn't say that, but I do feel that.
They have a lot of Christmas in the other movies, though.
Sitting here in this moment, it's difficult for me to remember stuff other than Order of the Phoenix, where they have at Grimmauld Place. It's difficult for me to remember particular Christmas scenes from other books.
Well, I can think of the snowball scene in Prisoner of Azkaban. That's not necessarily Christmas, just like wintery.
I also think that it was a big deal because Harry didn't have Christmases when he was in his Muggle household. So they made it a big deal because he got presents and it was very exciting and he had a new family and all of that. So I think that that's how it really tied the holidays in.
That's a really good point. It's so much more meaningful. You give an orphan boy Christmas. Proper Christmas for the first time, and then you go all out with it, and it's like Christmas itself I feel like is so magical to begin with, but then you have it at the magic school, so then it's just magic Christmas.
And I was like, and the Weasley sweaters, there's apparel designed for Christmas in Harry Potter, like
exactly.
It's a look.
We love a good Christmas merch
holiday fashion. I've also felt like Harry Potter is definitely a Christmas movie, specifically because of like, there's two tracks that I feel like sum up Christmas so much. And the first is kind of what Haley hummed before, or what you do-do-do'd earlier. That one, and then Harry in Winter from Goblet of Fire. I feel like both of those are such perfect tracks that like stick in your mind, that kind of like always make me think of it. And also the release dates for Harry Potter have been like over the years, pretty, not every single time, but the early films, they were always like Thanksgiving or close to Thanksgiving weekend releases, which is generally like the beginning of like Christmas movie release season. So I think that probably has something to do with it. Even though Harry Potter movies eventually would like come out in July, it's like the early ones still feel like Christmas movies to
Absolutely.
Me. Absolutely. But that's just a real world element. I don't know. That doesn't have anything to do with like in fiction.
And I know we're supposed to talk about it later, but speaking of music that is very Harry Potter and Christmas, I listen to the Celestina Warbeck holiday songs all through the holiday season because Christmas is definitely not my favorite holiday. But that makes me so much happier in the holiday season. So I have the YouTube video of her that someone had posted that has good audio, and I literally play it all holiday season.
We need to shoot a link because that is fantastic.
You are actually Mrs. Weasley.
That is the one thing she wants.
I get so pissed off at Fleur and Half Prince for being like an ass. I get so pissed off at Fleur and Half Prince for like being a straight up jerk. Like Miss Weasley wants her one thing, and that is
one thing
that she does everything. She takes care of 1,000 kids a day. She.
I was literally going to say she has 9,000 children. Let her listen.
Let her listen one thing. Seriously, all she wants is everyone just shut up and listen to Celestina Warbeck in the living room. And here we go, Fleur, being a jerk. I'm like, it's so mad. I'm like furious thinking about it. Like,
get her, Haley.
Whoa.
I have a lot of feelings for Mrs. Weasley.
We need a comic draft.
I love this. Yeah, I mean, just let her listen to Celestina. Shut up.
I feel like that's you too. Like, let Savannah have her one thing. She just wants to sit and listen to her Celestina Warbeck during Christmas time.
Adam's really good about it. He has a lot of very specific, obviously, as we all know, Adam's very specific about a lot of things, and his Christmas music is one of them, but he's a very good sport about Celestina.
We all need more Celestina in our lives.
We really do. I actually have debated emailing WB to ask for it on CD. I legitimately want the Christmas music on tape so that I can actually just listen to it without people screaming in the background. It's something that I genuinely need in my life.
Well, since WB is already coming at this podcast for my perfect rendition of the Harry Potter Christmas music, I think they'll listen to this part and release it for you.
Thank you. Hi, thanks, WB. I just need, that's just now the view of her holiday music.
Thank you so much, WB, for listening.
Thanks, WB. We're really excited about it.
Also, don't shut us down.
Also, we're not trademarked, sorry.
Talk about some Christmas festivities in the Wizarding World.
Yes. Let's do it.
So I think one of the first ones that we're introduced to, I mean, there's a whole Christmas tree, like Hagrid dragging the Christmas tree. But as far as like cultural stuff that happens in the Wizarding World, they do have the Christmas crackers, which until Harry Potter, I didn't know what this was. This was just like a Britishism that Americans don't really do. But like you can go to World Market or other stores in America and get Christmas crackers, which have two ends and you pull in. Actually, like there's a little pop, like a match.
Yeah, there's a snap inside. You can make them. I made them for a bridal shower last year.
That's fun.
Of course you
a Christmas themed bridal shower.
Christmas in July themed bridal shower. Yes. She's from the UK. That's why.
That'd be a fun project for us to do. But these are better than Muggle crackers. These actually explode. So back to our snack episode where we talked about just danger everywhere. These literally explode in your face and cover you with a giant cloud of blue smoke, but then they give you really cool stuff.
It's worth it. I'd be exploded upon for some cool stuff.
I love that. I wonder if the wizard ones also have the crowns, because generally the ones in the UK have paper crowns in them, which we all know I'm about a crown.
We've seen at least three different hats, I think, like a Rear Admiral's cap, a bonnet, and Dumbledore trades out his hat for a bonnet. I guess that comes from a cracker. I'm not 100% sure.
I would assume so.
And then the vulture hat.
Yes!
Third book, Dumbledore shares one with Snape, and a vulture hat pops out, and it's hilarious.
I think the hat
tradition continues.
I'm sure Dumbledore gets super toasty during like the Christmas parties at Hogwarts, which is probably hilarious to see your headmaster, or probably really awkward actually, to see your headmaster like getting litty at the Christmas party.
It's probably the best ever. Am I remembering this incorrectly? I don't know where this thought came from, but did they do a topsy-turvy Christmas one year where one of the kids was the headmaster and Dumbledore sat at the table?
That sounds like fan fiction.
That was okay.
I don't know.
Please write the fanfic.
That might be in a different book that has like headmasters and stuff.
I remember that. But about professors, like you said, Haley, what with professors getting litty. I do remember reading that during like the Christmas feasts that they have at Hogwarts, that the staff are actually allowed to drink wine.
That's true. Pretty cool. Hagrid keeps drinking wine, and then he like kisses McGonagall.
Yeah,
and then she
blushes. I remember that.
I don't remember that. What book was that in?
It was
one of the early ones.
Wow.
And Michael's gonna have to research now.
Gosh, I need to go consult my books. Pause the podcast.
I was Googling Dumbledore in Christmas, and all it says is Dumbledore's obsession with socks in different forms all the way down.
What?
every headline is some variation of Dumbledore's obsession with socks for Christmas.
Is there anything about the hat that he gets?
No, I'm looking.
It's just his socks. That's all that matters.
Albus Dumbledore got a hat with a stuffed vulture in his Christmas cracker, much to Professor Snape's chagrin. We must admit we particularly liked that one. Yeah, duh. Here we go. Not to mention the insane Christmas dinner. Particular highlights from this dinner included Hagrid kissing Professor McGonagall on the cheek, Percy nearly breaking his tooth on a silver sickle, and our first introduction to wizard crackers, which produced such items, a rear admiral's hat and a fetching flowered bonnet.
So that was all from Sorcerer's Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the silver sickle, that's ringing a bell, is another Britishism. I'm sure all of our British listeners are like, well, duh. But in America, we don't. But it's like baking a coin into the Christmas dessert or pudding. Mm. And then whoever gets it's like a thing. It's like a game.
That's like the baby in the cake in New Orleans.
King cakes.
Yes.
We used to have king cakes every year when I was like in elementary school. When I was in elementary school, because I lived in like Southern Mississippi, so Mardi Gras was super big there, and like king cakes was a thing. But I don't know if we had the right rule, because it'd be like, if you got the baby, that means you bring in the next one. So we had king cakes for like weeks at school.
So Michael, you have one of my favorite things from the Wizarding World next on this notepad, where they stunned gnomes and spray painted. Well, I assume they didn't spray paint them. I'm sure that they decorated them with wands, but they made them gold and stuck them as angels on the tree. And I love it so much, because the denoming of the garden was one of my other favorite things from the book series that never made it into the movies. And I just am so fascinated with the whole gnome culture of all of it. It's my favorite thing.
So I'm sorry that you say that it's your favorite thing, because
you hate it.
Because I absolutely hate it.
I love it.
This is so horrible. It's like you just wander. It's like going out and finding a squirrel and like drugging it, like in your backyard. Like, hey, squirrel, come here, little squirrel. And then you give hugs and sleep and make it go to sleep, and then put it in a little angel outfit. And then put it on top of your tree. And you're like, oh, look how cute. It's a little angel squirrel. Like, that's horrible.
Oh, my God. Speaking of the hillbillies.
Hey, wait. It was first in mind. I'm like, something in your backyard. There's just like a little innocent thing.
I could, without harming it, charm the little groundhog, the fat little groundhog in our backyard, and it wouldn't hurt it, and I could charm it and put it in a little angel outfit and put it on the tree and then release it after. That would be the best.
Wow.
Michael's gonna come after you.
But Fred and George do this, and you know, it's Fred funny. And George are up to no good all the time.
Just no good.
Was it conscience? Like, was it aware that it was on top of the tree, or was it, like, asleep?
I think it was, because I remember... Hold on. I have to look this up now.
Was it, like, impedimented? Like, it was frozen in action? Because in the... Well, this is first level canon, but in the, like, the Mary Grand Prix art, it's, like, frozen in, like, a little pose. I don't know.
Mary Grand Prix art would be... like fourth level canon.
Fred and George used a live garden gnome as a Christmas angel on top of the tree. As Fred Weasley was pulling carrots for Christmas dinner in 1996, a garden gnome bit him on the ankle. Fred stupefied the ugly creature and turned it into a gold painted angel with glued on wings and a tutu. So, I mean, it bit him.
Coming.
I feel like, Chicago is going to start playing. Like, he had it coming.
Oh, I love that. Dear internet, I'm sorry if you hate it. It's magic, and I think it's so funny.
Please don't be mad at me about my controversial gnome opinions.
Yeah, I always loved the whole idea of the gnome, the denoming the garden. I just thought it was so funny. But I also have a lot of garden gnomes in my house, because I really like garden gnomes. So I don't know, maybe I'm partial.
That's so funny. I'm terrified of garden gnomes.
Really?
Like, they, yeah, I find them so unsettling. I won't look at them, like, just too much. So whenever I would read about them in Harry Potter, I would just, like, kind of skip right over that.
Really?
Yeah, like, it's just, I don't know. I guess when I was little, like, seeing the word gnome would freak me out too much, so I would skip ahead.
I love this.
So many questions about those.
Oh, yeah. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that this whole gnome conversation got so wildly out of hand. Michael, what's next on our list?
Let's talk about Father Christmas.
Who is she? I don't know her.
So presents are always just appear at Hogwarts, at least. So we know, like, the house elves deliver them. So Father Christmas is mentioned, but we don't really hear anything about, like, Santa Claus or St. Nicholas. There's Nicholas Flamel, but he's not delivering presents to anybody.
Are you sure?
Presents just appear in the morning. So whenever Harry's at Grimmauld Place or at the Weasleys or something, the presents are delivered by Mrs. Weasley.
Yeah.
So do we think there's any kind of legend or anything in the wizarding world that's equivalent to Santa Claus or Father Christmas or anything like that?
Belschnickel.
Or Belschnickel? Or Krampus?
Krampus!
I know that Santa was a wizard because there's no way he could deliver all the presents in one night if he wasn't. So
he has that's... Elves.
What? And his house elves.
House elves.
Exactly.
I could have an undetectable extension charm on
it. Is he Nicholas Flamel? Because he's immortal. His name is Nicholas. Should we go back to that theory that we should say that?
I mean, we can. I mean, I'm just saying that St. Nicholas, Santa Claus, whatever you would like to call him, he's a wizard.
But was he a wizard at one point and he died?
And then the house elves just kept it going?
True. And it was just like tradition.
They were like, these dumb wizards still need their presents, so we just got to do it.
Poor house elves. Y'all, that just makes me sad.
Speaking of house elves, let's talk about the Christmas feast at Hogwarts.
Oh, yeah.
So things that we know were served, they had roast turkey, potatoes, chipolatas. Can anyone, without looking at the doc, tell me what a chipolata is?
No.
I already looked at the doc, so I can't cheat.
You cheat, and you're a Gryffindor, so you're
I off. Cheated because I read earlier, but I only remembered half of it.
I guess I'm the only person that doesn't know.
So, Haley, why don't you read off the dog what a chipolata is?
A chipolata is a beef and lamb sausage. Yum, first of all. Sounds delicious.
So, I'm 29 years old on Earth, and I've read Harry Potter dozens of times, and this is the first time I've ever actually looked up what a chipolata was.
Wow.
I'm this many years, I'm today years old, and now I know what a chipolata is.
Same.
They also serve peas, gravy, cranberry sauce, and flaming Christmas pudding, which is where the sickle was that Percy chomped on.
Oh my gosh, so it was a hot coin?
I don't know. It's like, is it like Baked Alaska where it's just set on fire on top and then you blow it out and then...
It's probably like Hermione's blue fire where it just like is warm but you can like hold it and stuff.
I mean, it's magic, so.
It's magic, it's whatever.
Yeah. That sounds delicious. Also, there was no kids left at Hogwarts for Christmas, so they got to eat so much food.
I know, right?
So that was one of my questions is, would you, as a Hogwarts student, would you choose to stay at Hogwarts or would you go home for the break?
Stay at Hogwarts.
I'd love to say that I would stay at Hogwarts, but I'd probably go home.
I think I would go home.
I think I'd stay at Hogwarts. It's mostly for Yule Ball reasons. Like, the Yule Ball could definitely keep me at Hogwarts.
Oh, for sure.
Over the holiday break. Because if it's only happening, like, every however many centuries, that's, like, monumental for a teenager. You want to be there. You'd have serious FOMO if you didn't stay for the Yule Ball and, like, flirt with Durmstrang and Beauxbatons students.
That's just the Yule Ball, though. Would you stay the rest of the years?
The rest of the years? I don't know. Probably. Like,
you wouldn't go home for Lois?
Okay, well, maybe. No, probably not. So, like, if I was in Harry's situation and say I had a loving family at home, not even in Harry's situation. Say I have the choice of a loving family at home or Minerva McGonagall handling Christmas festivities at my school. I think I'd probably stay.
Yeah, you would have so much alone time. You would love it.
I would. Oh, alone time. Thank you.
Can I make one point? about Draco Malfoy and how in the first book he made this huge deal about how Harry Potter has no family to love him and that's why he's not going home for Christmas. And then year two, he stays at Hogwarts for Christmas.
Because he didn't have a family that loved him.
I know! Like, ugh, get it together, Draco.
Cry, cry, cry. Take a look at yourself, Draco.
That's a typical bully for you.
Yep.
Why do we think that was? I mean, obviously there's the plot. It's like we needed Draco to be in the Slytherin common room, mostly alone. But like in universe, like was it that Lucius wanted him to stay at Hogwarts so that he can keep an eye on how things were developing? Or like what? Why do you think?
I think it was dangerous for him to be home. So Lucius didn't want him to be home because it wasn't safe.
I think it was something to do with Lucius hiding a bunch of his dark artifacts. Because all the raids were going on. So I think Lucius probably had some, like, crazy stuff in Draco's room or something.
That's what I mean, though. Like, it was dangerous for him to be home.
Yeah.
He, like, didn't want him to be involved in whatever shady shit he was doing.
Exactly.
It's just incriminating his only child.
Exactly.
Making him complicit. So, yeah. So Draco was at school and Dobby was at school. Maybe Lucius and Narcissa were just like, I don't know, away on a romantic holiday time getaway.
Maybe they open a sex Christmas dungeon every couple of years and oh it was God. Their turn.
Draco, it's time. You must move.
And they called it the Chamber of Secrets.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
They were like, oh, this will be funny once you guys know, once you're in on the joke.
Dungeon.
Sorry, we ruined everything, Michael.
No, we ruined everything.
Sorry, we got really off right there.
I had another point to add.
Go for it.
Hey, Michael.
It seems like, obviously for the plot, you can always use that as the excuse, but in universe, the Weasleys always seem to decide that Christmas would be the perfect time to go visit Bill or Charlie. And it just makes me think like, okay, you've got 5 kids at Hogwarts who they get to come home for Christmas and then for Easter holiday. And other than that, they are at school. Why would you choose the one time of the year two times of the year where they could come home to go on a trip?
I'm going to tell you right now, Michael. Oh, go ahead.
I bet we're going to say the exact same thing.
Probably.
Vacation.
They have 900 kids, Michael. They don't want them to come home. They have babysitters for a whole week that they don't have to deal with it. They got the time off work. Please. I'd be going on every vacation.
You know he doesn't get any days off during the school year.
Exactly.
You know his vacation days are at Christmas time. He's a working man.
He ain't playing. He's saying, okay, I got these free days off. The kids got babysitters. We're not going to worry about them setting the house on fire. Done deal.
Yeah, let Miss Weasley and Mr. Weasley have a vacation.
Oh, God, Michael.
One thing.
Let them live their lives.
She can take a break.
She might get a foot massage. You don't know.
Vacation time. That's all it is.
Wow.
Michael, I'm sorry that took a turn.
You're really defensive over Miss Weasley.
I love it.
I know.
Molly Weasley Defense League. It's Haley. It's just Haley.
Defensive mood tonight, and I apologize.
So let's move on from that. So we see Sirius singing God Yes, Rest Ye Merry Hippogriffs.
Uh-huh.
So there must be some kind of like wizard alternative to traditional Christmas carols. I'd love to hear, I'm sure like someone's come up with the rest of the words to that song, making it all wizardy.
But do we know if he was just being like me when I just make up songs all the time? Like, he could have just been like, had hippogriffs on the brain because Buckbeak was there. He was just like, oh, God rest you merry, hippogriffs. Like, ha, I'm a cool guy. Like, make up songs.
Well, Sirius.
Yeah, that makes him a cool guy.
Cool guy.
Sirius, Lupin was a half-blood. James was pure blood. Sirius was pure blood. We're not sure about Wormtail. So
he's canceled blood.
Canceled.
What kind of exposure do you have to Muggle carols if it wasn't like a
it's
wizarding?
It's mainstream.
Not for wizards. Wizards are not
mainstream. For wizards, yeah.
Wills.
They are mainstream when it comes to Christmas. Let's just say
I don't think so, though.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Fandom.
I don't think that Christmas carols are universal for the Wizarding World. I could be wrong, but that's my hot take.
But okay, but I do have to say all the little knights in shining armor are enchanted to sing Christmas carols too.
Yeah, okay, but which ones do they sing?
I think they sing the standards.
The classics?
The classics. Well, I can tell you right now, the classics in the Wizarding World are A Cauldron Full of Hot Strong Love. You charmed my heart right out of me. You stole my cauldron, but you can't have my heart. Nothing Like a Holiday Spell. Accio Christmas. Yeah. My Baby Gave Me a Hippogriff for Christmas. And A Witch and Wizard's Wintry Wondrous Land.
I love that scene.
Well, they have the number one most beautiful singer and diva of all time, Celestina Warbeck, yes. But when it comes to like your standard old Christmas carols, I feel like they must know them.
Girl, you're not telling me right now that you think they sing Dominoth the Donkey.
Who?
What?
Wait.
I'm not sing that. What does that mean?
That is not ringing a bell.
Wait. None of you know this awful song?
What are you talking about? Is it like Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer?
I mean, no, it's an Italian Christmas song.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm not Italian. I don't know why everyone needs to know it, but it's the worst.
Is this like the Hippopotamus for Christmas song?
No, it's worse. I love that song.
Oh.
The Hippopotamus for Christmas song is my favorite Christmas song. I can tell you that my favorite Christmas carol, mainstream or otherwise, is My Baby Gave Me a Hippogriff for Christmas. Is that because it reminds me of I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas? I don't know. Maybe that's why. Who knows?
Is that another song?
Yes, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. It's a real Christmas song. Haley, why are you being so judgmental of all of my favorite Christmas songs?
I'm sorry.
What was that, Michael?
Accio Christmas. It's got kind of like a Latin feel to it.
Yes, it does.
That's a good one. Let's talk about parties at Christmas. Christmas parties.
Yeah.
We see two. There's the Yule Ball, of course, and then there's Slughorn's Christmas Party.
We talk about how we feel a wizard ugly sweater party would go, because this is something I always wonder about.
Oh, man. Yes.
It would be epic. That you know the yarn would move.
Yeah. Shelby and I have had a lot of conversations about this because it's something that keeps me up at night in the holiday season.
Just tell us more.
I always want to know, like, about, because anytime I see an ugly sweater, I'm like, wow, if that had magic, how much worse would it be?
You could go all out.
Right?
Oh my gosh. I would die.
I know that I'm among like the five people who are still playing Hogwarts Mysteries. But that is sometimes one of the like the little items you can get, like the clothing items, is ugly sweaters and things that move. And so I totally think that that would be a thing in the Wizarding World.
Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine planning parties at Hogwarts? Just like, oh yeah, meet us back at the, you know, the common room.
Right.
Because you know they raged.
That'd be great until McGonagall shuts your shit down so fast.
Oh, no, girl. We would always be partying in the Hufflepuff common room.
That's what I was about to say. I was like, that's why y'all always invited to my place. Because, one, next to the kitchens. Two, in a hole. No one's going to find out. We've got, like, surround sound.
The soundproof.
Yeah, and you know Professor Sprout doesn't give a single fuck.
No, she's just asleep. She doesn't hear anything. McGonagall's always checking on them. You know Sprout's chill.
Yeah, she's deaf chill.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Hufflepuff Common Room. Y'all are all invited.
Hufflepuff Common Room, ugly sweater party, Liddy AF.
See, I feel like the Hufflepuff Common Room would be, like, the rager, like the best party of your life. But if you wanted to get an unclassy vibe, go to the Ravenclaw Tower.
Ooh, yes.
That'd be such a classy vibe party.
Yeah, or Slytherin. Slytherin's got real classy vibes under the lake.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that one would be like classy vibe, but like a little bit more exclusive.
Soup's exclusive.
Exclusive, yeah. Like you'd have to get an invite for that one. You couldn't just show up.
Thank God we have Shelby.
Yeah, right? I don't know if she could vouch for all of us, though.
I'm not sure I'd want to. I'm kidding. No, that sounds nice, like the ambiance and everything, but also that sounds super cold because the lake freezes over in winter, right?
Oh, yeah. I have to imagine that the common room is temperature controlled with magic, though.
Ew. Okay, good point.
But the Hogwarts is always... The Hogwarts. The Hogwarts. But the Hogwarts. No, but the halls of Hogwarts are always cold, too.
Starting around their cauldrons in the dungeon in Snape's classroom to stay warm.
They're not about temperature control with magic in that life.
I mean, they're all throwing a rager where they're drinking booze, so we know that they're controlling their own temperature.
And yet the snow that falls indoors, the enchanted snow, is warm. So, like, what's the deal?
Yeah, true.
This is why they're wearing 7 cloaks.
This is why I want you to come to the everyone's welcome, we don't care, just come in as you are, Hufflepuff, Christmas party.
This is why cosplaying wizards is horrible, because they wear so many layers because they're so cold.
That's why it's part of the uniform. They can't have kids, like, getting frostbite.
Okay, but backtracking to where we were at the beginning, Slughorn's Christmas party, that was, like, one of my favorite ever scenes. Like, one of the reasons why Half-Blood Prince is, like, my favorite book. Like, I just absolutely adore that scene where Harry and Luna show up to that party, and even though Harry's not having a great time, it just seemed like the coolest party ever to me.
I agree, and I know that I would not be cool enough to get into that party, so, like, that's what made it extra really fun, because I was like, damn, Hermione, you're just hiding in a curtain and you got invited. Why are you being so lame?
I just love how Luna would just go up to people and start, like, talking about, like, gibberish, and Harry was, like, all about it. Like, yes, be more embarrassing, I love you, sort of vibe. I love them together as friends so much.
It sounds like it'd be a great party, and I love, love, love Horace Slughorn, but I still think that I would enjoy going to the Yule Ball more.
Oh, definitely.
Haley, if you had to pick Yule Ball or Slughorn's Christmas party, which are you going to?
Does it depend on what I'm wearing?
You have the perfect outfit for each.
Okay, well, can I just talk about in, like, cosplay language? Because if I were to go to... We've made Harry and Luna's, like, Slughorn party looks. They're perfect, and I love them. So if we were going to go to Yule Ball, I would totally wear Ron's outfit, because I think it's absolutely hilarious, and it's just, like the best thing ever of one of that book to me. It's, like, him just being so embarrassed about that, like, ugly room. I love it.
For me, it would depend on how old I was, because I feel like if I were younger, I'd want to go to the Yule Ball because there's, like, dancing and fun. But then as an older person, I would want to go to the Slughorn party because there's, like, cocktails and, like, conversation and chilling.
Oh, gross.
Michael, I'm with you 100%.
I take it back. I'll go to the Yule Ball because I don't want to mingle.
Yule Ball's big enough that you can easily get lost.
I would only mingle with my friends, though. I wouldn't just mingle with, like... Oh. Vampires. I mean, that'd be kind of cool.
Unless Luna was, like, my plus one, I would not want to be about that.
Shelby, which one would you go to?
Oh, definitely the Yule Ball. Yeah.
What about Savannah?
I'm with you, Michael. Depending, you know, the Yule Ball is once in a lifetime, I guess. So there's that has to do with it. And I would love to boogie down with all these crazy wizards and see the Weird Sisters. But at the same time, the idea of drinking crazy cocktails with Slughorn, whom I love dearly. So, I don't know. There's reasons for both. I know that's not a real answer, but...
We'll take it.
No, I mean, both is a good enough answer.
We'll just do Harry's route and do it in year 4 and then year 6, and it'll all be fine.
Exactly. Perfect.
Are you guys, like, fairly familiar with, like, the set dressing for, like, Christmas and everything?
For the movies?
Yeah.
I've looked at the page to screen books, but what are you talking about?
Part of what especially makes me love watching Harry Potter are all of the props and the set dressing. And I think that it makes everything look, like, really, really grounded. Have you guys ever taken a peek at the Christmas trees throughout the films?
No.
Not particularly.
Okay. There's, like, so much to admire. There's this really creepy porcelain doll. Like, it's kind of like an angel tree topper that's on top of the tree in Grimald Place. that's like one of my favorite things that I found on any of the trees, because Harry is spending his first Christmas with the Weasleys that year. It's like, you know, after, I mean, you guys know the events of Order of the Phoenix and all that. And I find it really interesting because, like, the history of angel Christmas tree toppers kind of, like, dates back to Queen Victoria, who was, like, super, super about family. And I feel like that's, like, a very, like, intentional nod to, like, I don't know, this being, like, a traditional, very, like, family-oriented tree. And, like, here you have this, like, very family-oriented group, aka the Weasleys.
That's amazing. I never knew that.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you guys have seen that there's, like, that really horrible CGI Santa Claus that, like, flies around the tree and whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, the best thing is that there's, I guess, an enchantment of some sort where, like, the snow is falling directly above the top of the tree, and all of the tree branches are, like, covered in, like, a light dusting of snow. It just looks really pretty.
I didn't know that either. I've never actually, like, paid attention to the trees. I should next time.
Savannah, you would love the Christmas tree that's in the Gryffindor common room. I could have sworn I've shown you pictures of that before, because it's all in red and gold. And instead of having, like, shiny, like, glass Christmas balls, it's all gold streamers and red glitter skulls.
Yes.
It's like you decorated it.
That's what my Christmas tree actually looks like.
I know there's, like, there's one of the trees that has, does it have peacocks on it? Like, gold peacocks? I feel like I saw that at one of the pictures of the studio tour. Like, when they do the Christmas and they put the Christmas trees up, they do, like a high.
The Great Hall ones?
Yeah, one of the Great Hall Christmas trees.
Yeah.
I remember when we were at the studio tour seeing some of the trees, but I didn't pay attention that well.
Do they have the Christmas trees up when we were there?
Well, they had the Yule Ball stuff set up.
Oh, yes, right.
Yeah, those ones are, like, gold stars, moons, and birds, and then some of the birds have feathers on them.
Oh, yeah. I think that's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are really pretty and classy.
The only ones I ever, like, actually looked at was the one that Flitwick was decorating, and I think that's just because it was the main thing.
Yeah, it was like a little half moon or something that he was putting up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the same one that that has, like, all the feathers and everything. But the one that I think is probably my favorite is, like, a total 180 from that, basically. It's in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. When you see, if you look closely at the Weasley's Christmas tree that's in the Burrow, it's, like, really sparse. And it's adorned with, like, kind of that cheap tinsel and Christmas crackers. And the best thing that's on them are these, like, little, like, knitted pom-poms. There's, like, no glass balls. It's just, like, little orange and red, like, pom-pom balls that, like, one would assume Molly made and strung up.
Aww, I love that.
I just feel like it's so, like, cute and, like, you know, it's, like, carefully chosen and all that.
See, Michael, that's also why she doesn't want those damn kids home, because she put up all her sweet ornaments and she doesn't want anyone touching them.
She didn't even trust them with glass. Like, she had to, like, knit them because she was like, oh, can't put glass out. You know they're going to break it.
Exactly.
I never considered that. I thought that it was just kind of like like, ornaments are so expensive. I can knit balls.
That's probably also it. I went the all the kids are worse than cats kind of vibe.
Worse than cats.
Wait, what?
The Christmas cats take down, like, all the Christmas tree ornaments.
Okay, yes.
We couldn't have glass on trees for a long time because the cat would climb up the tree and then rip them all down.
Oh, no.
And then in the Muggle world, those are the Hallmark ornaments. Like, those, all the Harry Potter ones they've released over the years are so just, I like, our whole tree is basically Harry Potter Hallmark ornaments.
Really?
Pretty much.
We love them. My mom gives us ornaments every year for Christmas, and, she always picks out the Harry Potter ones to give us. So I love him.
That's awesome.
So do we think that we pretty much covered Christmas?
We did. Did you want to talk about winter solstice with Christmas?
Yeah. So winter, I mean, we don't really hear about winter solstice much in the Wizarding World, in the Harry Potter books. It's usually around the 21st. So shortest day of the year, longest night of the year. Definitely, like, pagan connections and connections to all the stars and and the moon and the sun and all that stuff. But I guess we don't really hear about it much. Like the Yule Ball, like Yule and winter solstice are connected. But as far as like how wizards celebrate that, I guess we don't really see that very much.
Yeah, we don't really, like, they learn astronomy, but they don't really, like, talk about it very much.
It's always been interesting to me that they celebrate more Catholic holidays than pagan holidays in the books. Like, they celebrate Christmas, they celebrate Easter, and I don't know why I would have assumed that they celebrate more pagan holidays just because they're wizards, but I'm wondering if religion plays into it, where Muggles all have different religions, and that's just how it is, and I'm wondering if that's how wizards are as well.
I also think it's just J.K. Rowling's background too, like, because she's a Christian, so like that's how she chose to write the books and the holidays they wanted to celebrate. That's one thing I really wanted to learn more about Fantastic Beasts with the Goldstein sisters and learn about how they celebrate the Jewish holidays.
Ooh, yeah.
I was waiting for that and it never happened.
Right? We need more.
There's still time though. It's right?
Right.
Let's hope.
There's plenty of time to rewrite that stuff.
Can we hope? I mean, what's our dreams for the Goldstein sisters?
I just want them to have a fabulous Hanukkah celebration. We don't know Kowalski's religion, or do we?
His religion is baked goods.
Okay, yeah.
That is my religion, so I relatable content.
Yeah.
Glad we're all part of the same religious sect.
We all love the baked goods here.
So most of the like the practices and things we talked about today, like the crackers and like the gnome on top of the tree and the feast and everything, like they're all Muggle like equivalents, which I think is what makes Harry Potter such a relatable book, even though it's all about magic, is that, yeah, there's crackers, but they're better than Muggle crackers. But if she invented something totally weird and off the wall, I'd be like, okay, I see what you're doing there, wizards, cool. But to have it connected to something that's super relatable, that at least British people can understand, then I would think that Hanukkah and other like religious holidays, if they had wizarding touches to them, like, I don't know, something about the dreidel. I mean, none of us are Jewish, so I don't know how closely we can speak to this. But and the menorah and all of the rest, like, would there be some kind of like a little magic added to it?
It's funny you say that, Michael, because I would have preferred an entirely new winter wizard holiday that I could celebrate.
More presents.
Just an entirely new holiday that's only wizard related and all of that.
Well, I think I have something for you then.
Shelby.
This was my other note. I only wrote down notes about how they decorated the Christmas trees in the movies, and I wonder if any of you will know this. I feel like Michael will probably know this.
Michael knows everything.
And Merlin Remembrance Day.
What is that?
Any ideas? Anyone?
No. It's a winter holiday?
I don't know if it's specifically a winter holiday. They've never, I don't think that they have like a date that's suggested or
God
anything.
Damn it. I want a date.
Sorry. It could be a winter holiday. We don't know. So this is from that real world, the Daily Prophet that was mailed to like the official Harry Potter fan club in like the late 90s.
Can't get copies.
It's probably all the trash.
Bottom of a trash heap somewhere.
It was back in the days of physical newsletters. So they're like, there's no digital files that are easily accessible or even difficultly accessible.
Not that Michael hasn't looked.
I have searching for years, and our friend Peter, the Potter collector, has been searching for years, and he hasn't gotten his hands on them. So
well, then they're gone forever.
If he hasn't gotten them, then I don't think it's happening, y'all.
Yeah, those are super elusive. In one of these letters that was mailed, there was a holiday suggested in a reader's letter to the Daily Prophet, suggesting that Merlin Remembrance Day be made an official holiday in honor of Merlin, who we all know is supposed to be like the most famous wizard of all time.
Just saying that because he was a Slytherin.
Right.
Merlin's beard.
But later on, I guess in the Daily Prophet article, it said that it was suggested basically to establish a new public holiday, not actually in any legitimate desire to honor Merlin, but just to provide an additional day per year off of work.
What a mood.
So,
yeah.
And it also follows up with that whether this holiday was ever implemented is unknown. So who knows? It could have been an additional winter holiday, or it could have gotten scrapped.
Speaking of bank holidays, can we transition to some other winter holidays?
Yes, please.
So another thing that I had to look up because I didn't know what it was, and it'll be super obvious to all of our British listeners, is Boxing Day.
Yes!
Of course.
I know Boxing Day.
You do know about Boxing Day.
So yeah, I've been to plenty of Boxing Days.
Really?
Yeah, my cousin married a girl from the UK, so she has Boxing Day every year. It's the day after Christmas.
So the history of Boxing Day is that it was started out as like a thank you day to laborers working so hard. And so people would give them like Christmas boxes with fun things. And here's a present. Thank you for working so hard. Here's a day off. But now it's pretty much become like Black Friday in America, or like the day after Thanksgiving, where it's just a huge shopping day. So I'm guessing laborers now actually have to work a lot harder.
Oh no.
It's also a big eating day. It's like a huge leftovers like eating day for a lot of people. And like they celebrate Boxing Day by just like lounging with family and like eating leftovers.
I love that. So how do you celebrate Boxing Day with your cousins?
They literally invite everybody over and it's like a ton of food and everybody hangs out and it's basically like Christmas all over, but it's a lot more informal. Usually we all wear pajamas and just literally wear our pajamas all day. It's so much fun.
I love that.
Me too.
That's really sweet.
All get like, they go walk, like take a walk in town. I'm like, can we just?
Can we not?
I love the idea of being in your pajamas all day. We need to like make that a tradition this year.
They should rename it Pajama Day instead of Boxing Day.
I definitely always thought that Boxing Day was like a thing about boxers, like fighting.
So did I.
it's Boxing Day. Like this is the day that you go and box.
Yeah, like some boxers made it famous and that's what it is. I love that.
So Luna Lovegood tells us, of course, that Pygmy Puff sing on Boxing Day.
Yes.
Yes.
But what do they sing?
God rest baby gave me a hypnocrisis for Christmas.
I need hippopotamus for Christmas.
And what's the world, the Pygmy Puffs little make little coo songs, don't they?
Yeah.
They feel like brruh, brruh, things like.
I think.
So they trill. Can
you do that again?
They make little coos.
I know. Sorry, I was teasing you.
They all just like Cardi B trill the whole time.
Yes. Your next note on here is one of my favorite things because I never thought about this. Does Gringotts respect the same bank holidays as the UK? I feel like they probably don't, because do goblins celebrate those holidays?
Goblins stop working for a
That's
minute.
My thing. Yeah, like do goblins ever stop working?
I feel like based on what we know of goblins, like they're all like all the goblin wars and all the bloody rebellions and things, I feel like goblins would want to take advantage of every opportunity to not work for wizards.
I can respect that.
Mm-hmm. I can respect that, but I also feel like they would take every opportunity to take the wizard's money.
True.
I agree more with Savannah. They would always want to be open for business.
Yeah, but they would constantly be wanting to take all of their goods.
Like, they don't want to let their guard down for a second.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And being closed is a day that people are coming to rob it.
Right. Exactly. They got to worry about being robbed.
Yeah. I feel like Gringotts never closes ever.
Me too. I feel like it's a 24-hour bank.
So the UK has less banking holidays than the US does. So the UK's banking holidays are New Year's Day, Good Friday, Easter Monday, May Day, Spring bank holidays, there's tons and tons and tons of them in the spring. Christmas Day and then Boxing Day. So they have like none in the summer, none in the fall. So sorry, UK. In the US, we have New Year's Day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, George Washington's birthday, which I didn't know that was a bank holiday.
Not for me.
Memorial Day, Independence Day, Labor Day, Columbus Day, Veterans Day, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. So
also, George Washington's birthday is actually President's Day. Because it's also Lincoln's birthday, or like near it.
Oh, okay. Thanks for that
update. The internet failed me.
George's birthday.
I know about President's Day. I don't know about
I've never heard it called George Washington.
I don't know when it was changed from George Washington's birthday to President's Day, but it was.
Definitely is on when all is the calendars.
President's Day.
It's passed this year already. And it's sometime in the spring.
I don't think I got that day off.
It's sometimes in between Martin Luther King Jr. Day and Memorial Day. Somewhere in the middle there. So we have way more bank holidays than the UK does, and theirs are very concentrated in, like, they have 1, 2, 3 in the spring, and then 3 in the winter, and basically nothing during the fall or the summer. So, sorry, UK.
Well, they get 2 weeks off for Easter.
That's true. We just confirmed from our friends, Greg who lived on Instagram, and Hannah, that they get 2 weeks off for Easter holidays. But what?
For baby Jesus rising? Why?
Because, I don't know. But then
they get the week off and the week before and the week after Easter.
But
off.
Then they barely ever get like a summer break. So I kind of felt guilty for like being a jerk.
Wait. is there Easter break? They're like spring break?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's our equivalent spring break, but it's 2 weeks long.
But they only get like 3 weeks during the summer. It's like ridiculously short.
Okay, so it's not necessarily for Easter. It's like literally just the springtime break and happens to fall around Easter.
Yeah, but it's framed around Easter. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's the week before and after Easter.
Okay. The UK. I was very offended about Jesus rising and that being the reason, but it's fine.
Well, they have it off in Harry Potter, too.
Right.
And that's when
which I never picked up on in the books, that they had 2 weeks off. I figured it was like a long weekend.
And they were always doing homework. I'm like, sorry about your break. That sounds terrible.
They did a lot of homework.
They did. Well, I guess Hermione did a lot of homework, and Ron and Harry just kind of showed up.
We can talk about my other favorite winter holiday, which is New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. It is my favorite. If we could go from Halloween to New Year's Eve, I would be the happiest human being on Earth.
Just skip Thanksgiving and Christmas. They're garbage.
Yes, correct.
Even though you get an amazing Boxing Day?
Boxing Day is fine, but that's not my holiday. That's like the UK's holiday. I just benefit from it usually. But I love New Year's Eve so much. I want to have glitter all over me. I want to drink champagne, even though I don't even like champagne. But like New Year's Eve means you need to have a glass of champagne. I just want to dance a lot. It's a new year. I love a new year. I love ending an old year. I just love all of it. And I was really gutted. I had sent, I don't know, maybe you guys, maybe Shelby, a message. I don't even know when. But I was so bummed when I realized that all of the kids at Hogwarts went home, most of them, for New Year's Eve. So they didn't even get to rage at the castle for New Year's Eve. This like totally bummed me out.
I'm so sorry.
It's fine. I had this like whole fantasy in my head about New Year's Eve in the castle and how much fun, and like they're all drunk on champagne and having magic and sparkles everywhere, and it was gonna be so much fun. And then I was like, oh damn, they're not even there.
Well, maybe that could be to your benefit though. Maybe it'd be like a more exclusive VIP wizard New Year's Eve party.
True. Maybe that's the only way that I would stay in school for Christmas, is that I got to have a New Year's Eve party after.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome.
You'd be an excellent hostess.
Thank you.
I would stay at Hogwarts just for your New Year's Eve party. I'm like, yeah, Savannah's throwing it. Oh my gosh, she is. Yes, there's glitter going to be everywhere.
Just love glitter, guys.
Where would you hold it?
I would probably ask permission to like hold it somewhere not in a common room.
Okay, where though? We need more details.
Like where was the, wherever the Yule Ball was too big of a space. Clearly there's not going to be enough people for that to feel full. So probably a classroom, unless I found the room of requirement, then I could throw the rager in there, which would be perfect because then I wouldn't have to decorate because the room would just literally produce my vision.
That would be amazing.
Oh, if I had a room that I just had to think about what I wanted it to look like and then it was perfect, I'd cry every day of my life.
But say, okay, for example, if you couldn't get the room requirement and you just had to have it somewhere else, the aesthetics of the Ravenclaw common room, gorgeous. It'd be so pretty for New Year's Eve.
That's true.
But room requirement, top notch.
I love a round room. That's perfect, Haley.
The Chamber of Secrets. Ooh, there needs to be a different type of party there, though.
I would never have a party in the Chamber of Secrets with that dead-ass snake. Gross.
But it smells.
Can you imagine the smell?
It's so wet. It's underneath the bathroom. No.
Yeah, but it smells.
Wait, what if you held a party in the prefect's bathroom and you made it like a pool party?
Yes. Like
a bubble party. That's disgusting.
No, a bubble with the bubbly party. Champagne and bubbles. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Ugh. So there.
God.
Champagne and bubbles. Oh my God.
Does anyone have any other strong feelings about winter holidays?
I think we covered them pretty well.
I love too. Bewitched snowballs.
Yes.
Did anyone talk about that yet?
No, tell us.
And how Quirrell was like slammed in the face by Fred and George in Voldemort's face. Like, that is so iconic.
Yes, precisely.
Yes. They so slammed. Good. They had no idea.
I think that's the only way I would enjoy snow activities, because I do not like being wet and I do not like being cold and I do not like being wet and cold. But if I could magic all of the wet, cold snow off of me, that would be fabulous.
Yeah. Right. Snow, thank you to winter.
Snow, thanks. Well, we hope everybody has a lovely holiday season. We're so excited that you tuned in with us.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to everyone.
Happy holidays.
Hope your holidays are magical.
This has been your favorite podcast about all things Wizarding World canon. Hold My Butterbeer. You can find us on Instagram at Hold My Butterbeer Pod and on Facebook at Hold My Butterbeer Podcast. You can also email us at holdmybutterbeerpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.